Okay, so have you ever been walking down the street and suddenly you're like swarmed by people shoving pamphlets in your face?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It can get kind of annoying, right?
Yeah, especially when you're just trying to get somewhere.
Right. But believe it or not, those little pieces of paper, they actually sparked a pretty big legal battle all the way to the Supreme Court.
No way, seriously.
Yep, we're talking about Schneider v. New Jersey, a case from way back in 1939. And it's all about the First Amendment and how much cities can do to, like, I don't know, keep their streets clean without, like, totally stomping on free speech.
Interesting. So what was the deal with this case? What happened?
Well, actually, it wasn't just one city. It was a bunch of different cases kind of bundled together, all dealing with these local ordinances about handing out pamphlets.
So, like, what kind of ordinances?
We had one in Irvington, New Jersey, where a Jehovah's Witness was going door to door spreading their religious message.
Okay, makes sense.
And then you had other cities like Los Angeles, Milwaukee, Worcester, all trying to control the flow of handbills on their streets. Like they were worried about protests, labor disputes, just general information overload.
So it sounds like it wasn't really about the content of the pamphlets themselves, but more about the act of distributing them.
Exactly. It was like a pre-spam era battle against information overload.
I can see that. But how did the Supreme Court get involved in all of this?
Well, the big question was, can the government actually restrict this kind of communication just to prevent some litter? Like, is that a good enough reason to limit free speech?
Yeah, that's a tough one. There's definitely a tension there between wanting clean streets and protecting people's right to express themselves.
Right. It's kind of like saying you can't have a parade because of the confetti afterwards.
Exactly. And the court actually had this great line about pamphlets being weapons in the defense of liberty.
Oh, wow. That's powerful. It really shows how pamphlets have been used throughout history to spread ideas and spark change.
Imagine if the American revolutionaries hadn't been able to use pamphlets to spread their message. Things could have turned out very differently.
No kidding. So how did the court actually rule in Schneider? Did they side with the cities or with the pamphlet distributors?
Well, it's interesting they actually acknowledge that cities do have a legitimate interest in maintaining order. You know, nobody wants to be wading through piles of trash.
But
But they also said that the inconvenience of cleanup is just an indirect consequence of protected speech. It's not a good enough reason to silence people.
so basically, you can't punish someone just because some people might litter. That makes sense.
Yeah.
What about those permit systems that some cities were using? Couldn't they argue that they were just trying to regulate the distribution, not ban it completely?
That's where things get a bit tricky because it brings in this idea of prior restraint.
Prior restraint.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that term. What does it mean?
It basically means stopping speech before it even happens. Like if you needed permission from the government every time you wanted to hand out a flyer.
Oh, I see. So they're trying to prevent any potential mess instead of dealing with it afterward.
Exactly. And the courts saw that as a really dangerous way for the government to potentially control what ideas get shared.
Yeah, it seems like that gives officials way too much power to censor stuff they don't like. Even if their goal is to keep the city clean, the method they were using was just too heavy-handed.
Right, and the court recognized that danger. They saw these permit systems as a way for the government to discriminate against certain viewpoints.
So what did the court suggest as an alternative? Did they just tell cities to suck it up and deal with the litter?
Not exactly. They emphasize this principle called less restrictive means. Basically, if a city wants to address a problem, they need to find the least intrusive way to do it without unnecessarily limiting free speech.
So like instead of banning pamphlets altogether, they could focus on punishing people who actually litter or maybe create designated spots for handing out flyers.
Exactly. It's all about finding that balance between keeping things tidy and protecting free speech.
You know, this is making me rethink those pamphlets. I always just toss in the recycling bin. I never thought about the legal battles behind them.
It's a good reminder that even something as simple as a flyer can have huge implications for our rights.
It seems like Schneider was about way more than just keeping the streets clean. It set some ground rules for how the government can regulate speech in public spaces, right?
Absolutely. And that's actually a perfect segue into our next topic, the public forum doctrine. But we'll save that for the next part of our deep dive. Welcome back. You know, before we got sidetracked talking about littering and all that, we were starting to touch on this thing called the public forum doctrine.
Right, that rings a bell. It's
Yeah.
basically about how different public spaces have different levels of free speech protection, right? Like a park versus a government building or
You
something.
got it. Not all public spaces are treated equally when it comes to the First Amendment. So this doctrine helps us like categorize them based on how they've traditionally been used for expressive activities.
Okay, so what kinds of categories are we talking about here?
Well, the most protected spaces are called traditional public forums. Think like streets, sidewalks, parks. You know, those classic spots where people have always gathered and expressed themselves.
So basically the places where free speech is like most protected.
Exactly. Mm. In those spaces, the government's power to restrict speech is super limited. Any rules they put in place have to be content neutral.
Content neutral. Does that mean they can't discriminate based on what you're actually saying?
Yeah. They can't be like, you can protest here, but only if we agree with your message.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But they can still regulate things like noise levels or blocking traffic, right?
Exactly. They can regulate the time, place, and manner of your speech, but even those regulations have to be carefully crafted so they don't become overly restrictive.
I see. So it's a delicate balance.
For sure. So we've got those traditional public forums where free speech is king. What about spaces that aren't like that? Does that mean the government can just shut down free speech there?
Right. Like, can they do that?
Well, not quite. There's this other category called designated public forums. These are places that the government has specifically opened up for expressive activity, even if they weren't traditionally used that way.
Mm. Okay, so like if a town hall set aside a room for community groups to hold meetings.
Precisely. Or a university lecture hall that's open for student groups to use.
So in those designated public forums, the government can set some rules, but they still have to be fair.
Right, exactly. Yeah. The restrictions have to be reasonable and, most importantly, viewpoint neutral. So they can't say only groups that support this political party can use this room or anything like that.
Gotcha. So no picking and choosing favorites. Okay, so we've got traditional public forums and designated public forums. What about places where free speech is basically off limits?
Yes. We call those non-public forums. These are spaces like military bases, prisons, government office buildings. You know, places where the main function isn't about people expressing themselves freely.
Right. Makes sense. So basically, they have stricter rules about speech because that's not the primary purpose of those spaces.
Exactly. Now, how does all of this connect back to Schneider, you might ask?
Well, yeah, I was just thinking that.
Well, Schneider was a really important case in establishing this whole public forum framework.
I see, because it recognized that streets and sidewalks are like those classic spaces where people have always gone to share their ideas.
Exactly. And that laid the groundwork for this whole public forum doctrine, which has had a huge impact on all sorts of things like protests, demonstrations, even art displays in public spaces.
Wow. So a case about pamphlets really helped shape how we think about free speech in all these different contexts. That's pretty amazing.
It really is. But I bet you're wondering how all of this applies to the internet, right?
You read my mind. Is Facebook a public forum? What about like the comment section on a news website?
The $1 million question. It's something legal experts are still grappling with, to be honest. The internet doesn't fit neatly into these traditional categories.
Right. It's not a physical space in the same way, but it's definitely a place where people gather and exchange ideas.
Exactly. And it raises all sorts of new challenges. Like, how do you balance free speech rights with the right of companies to moderate their platforms?
Can the government even step in and regulate speech on social media without violating the First Amendment?
It's a whole new frontier, and we're still figuring out the rules of the game.
I bet. So even though Schneider dealt with, physical pamphlets, those core principles are still relevant in the digital age.
Absolutely. The government can't censor content just because it's annoying. The need for less restrictive means, the importance of having spaces where people can freely share information. Those ideas are still incredibly important today.
It's kind of like Schneider gave us a set of tools to help us think about free speech in any context.
Yeah.
Even those that didn't exist back in 1939.
Exactly. It's a framework for analyzing these new challenges and figuring out how to protect free speech in a constantly evolving world.
Okay, so we've covered a ton of ground here. The history of Schneider, the whole public forum doctrine, and even how it all might apply to the internet. But I feel like there's still so much to unpack.
Oh, for sure. We've only just scratched the surface.
Exactly. Like, we talked about how Schneider applies to those, like, traditional public spaces like streets and parks. But what about all this new technology? Like, what about the internet?
Yeah, that's the big question, right? How do these principles from, like, almost a century ago translate to this digital age we live in now?
Right. We touched on social media a bit earlier. But what about other forms of online communication, like augmented reality, virtual billboards, all that stuff? It's a whole new world out there.
It really is. And even though Schneider was all about like physical pamphlets, those core ideas are still so relevant. Like, the government can't just censor content because it's annoying or inconvenient, and they still have to use the least restrictive means possible, you know? And the idea that people need spaces to exchange information freely, that's still crucial even in the virtual world.
So, like, let's say a city wants to regulate those virtual billboards that pop up on your phone when you're walking down the street, you know, those augmented reality ads. Could Schneider actually offer any guidance there?
It totally could. The first thing we'd have to ask is, are these virtual spaces even considered public forums? Are they like streets and sidewalks where people have always gathered to share information? Or are they more like a private website where different rules might apply?
That's a tough one. I could see arguments on both sides.
Right. And that's exactly why cases like Schneider are so important. They give us this like framework for analyzing new situations, even when the technology is something they could never have imagined back then.
So it's kind of like a roadmap helping us navigate this uncharted territory.
Exactly. But even if we decide that these virtual spaces are kind of like public forums, wouldn't the city still have a good reason to want to regulate them? I mean, nobody wants their whole world to be filled with virtual ads.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Can be pretty overwhelming.
Right. They might be worried about like visual clutter or safety hazards if people are walking around distracted by these virtual billboards. But the key here is that their reasons can't be about controlling the messages that are being displayed.
Right. So they can't be like, you can only have virtual ads for certain products, or you can only express certain political opinions. That'd be straight up censorship.
Exactly. Content neutrality is still key. And even if the city has a legitimate concern, they'd still have to prove that they've chosen the least restrictive way to address it.
So maybe instead of a total ban on virtual billboards, they could limit their size or how long they're displayed, or maybe require them to be clearly labeled as advertising.
Exactly. It's about finding creative solutions that respect both the First Amendment rights of advertisers and the, you know, the legitimate interests of the city.
It's pretty amazing that a case about pamphlets from 1939 can still give us guidance on such cutting-edge issues. It really shows how important these principles are.
It really does. So are you ready for one more legal curveball?
Hit me with it.
So besides Schneider, are there any other Supreme Court cases that have kind of built on this legacy cases that took those principles and applied them to new situations?
Oh, I'm sure there are tons.
Mm-hmm.
But anything specific come to mind?
Well, there's Watchtower Bible and Tract Society of New York, Inc. v. Village of Stratton, which was decided in 2002. It's a bit of a mouthful.
I know. Yeah. Watchtower. Okay, I vaguely remember that one. It had something to do with Jehovah's Witnesses again, right?
You got it. This time they were challenging a local ordinance that required permits for door-to-door canvassing.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Like back to those pamphlets in Schneider.
Right. And just like in Schneider, the Supreme Court struck down the ordinance. They said that going door to door to advocate for your beliefs is a protected form of free speech.
So even though the technology had changed from pamphlets to face-to-face conversations, the basic principles from Schneider still apply.
Exactly. And Watchtower is just one example. There are so many other cases that have built upon Schneider, from protests and demonstrations to the regulation of online speech.
It's incredible how this one case about these seemingly simple ordinances can have such a huge impact on how we understand and protect free speech.
It really speaks to the power of the First Amendment and how we have to keep reinterpreting it as our world changes.
Well, I think we've given our listeners a lot to think about today.
I hope so. We've gone from the streets of 1930s New Jersey to the virtual world of the future. And through it all, Schneider v. New Jersey has remained this, like, landmark case with tons of relevance.
It really has. And to everyone listening out there, we hope you've enjoyed this deep dive into free speech pamphlets and the always evolving world of the First Amendment.
Keep those minds curious, folks. Until next time.